Wait to hear what Brother Anthony Morris has to say in the talk, Never Let Your Heart Become Terrified. That's the title of the talk, and other information too that he will share with us. Let's invite him now to the platform.
Before I begin the final talk, just a couple things we wanted to mention. First of all, as they just announced, the attendance figure, all of us here, the delegates and those from Ireland, really when you contemplate what's just happened these past few days, we're all part of history. This is an historic convention in Ireland. That is the largest attendance to ever be at a convention in Ireland. So you're part of that, something you'll always want to remember. Now here's something special for those of you serving in Ireland. The governing body approved the Britain branch to arrange to have this announced to you here at the special convention. We're pleased to announce that the Britain branch is making arrangements to hold the first Bible school for Christian couples at the former branch property here in Ireland. The school will commence on October 8, 2012, with enrollment on October 4, 2012. Aren't you happy to hear that? Good news. The RBC brothers, those in oversight, the chairman and such, knew about this announcement, and they just wanted me to add to all of you that work with the RBC, the construction of Kingdom Hall, try not to go anywhere in August on holiday. They'll be getting in touch with you, making arrangements. There needs to be some preliminary work done at the former branch to get ready for the school, so they're begging you to please answer your phone or whatever else when they try to get in touch with you. So we want to try to help them out there. So we're excited for you here in Ireland. God willing, it may well be in the future, near future even, where you'll have attendances like this without delegates. Wouldn't that be great? See, with Jehovah's blessing. So, why must we maintain a courageous heart? Well, we all know that Jehovah's courageous. Christ Jesus certainly displayed amazing courage in the temple. Twice he threw him out of the temple for misbehaving in his father's house. And it's something that we must have if we hope to please God as well. And it's very serious. Take your Bible and let's look at Revelation chapter 21. And see why it's so crucial that we imitate the courage of Jehovah and the courageous Christ. Revelation chapter 21. And notice what's listed here in verse 8. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowards, and those without faith, and those who are disgusting in their filth, and murderers and fornicators and those practicing spiritism and idolaters and all the liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This means the second death. No future. They'll be dead forever. And you see who Jehovah couples with cowards. So a coward is someone that is so afraid of what some humans can do to them that they crumble. They don't have a courageous heart. Their heart gets terrified and they want to run. or do whatever is necessary to save their skin. So you see, Jehovah takes it very seriously. He has no place for cowards in his organization. And with what we're going to face in the future, we need to take to heart the counsel to never let our hearts become terrified. So have this in mind here with the decisions that we'll have to make in the future. The devil does something that is familiar to Jehovah's Witnesses. Some are newer here or new to Jehovah's Witnesses. It'll be a reminder for God's people, but it might be new for you. It's related to what the Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, so turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And back in Bible times, in that part of the world, everything's different now, but they were familiar with what Peter was writing about as the behavior of a lion. I don't think you have any lions here in Ireland unless it's in the zoo. And there's no danger from one that's in the zoo. However, notice what Peter writes here in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep your senses, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. So, to understand something about lions, you have to understand, when they're hunting, they don't always roar when they hunt. We're studying what the experts tell us, is generally they'll do so when they come up to domesticated animals that are penned in. They'll put their mouth on the ground and roar, and you can't tell where it came from. And the idea is that the animals panic. They'll actually panic in the pen and then break out and come running. And then if they see a weak one, one that's easier to get, they redouble their efforts. And sometimes in the panic, they'll run right at them. So what Jehovah's telling us here is that when we face attacks by the devil and his system, don't panic. You cannot panic. It blurs your thinking. Don't let your heart get terrified or you're going to make a bad decision. And it happens all too often. Jehovah's saying, look, the devil's going to roar, but you listen to me. And how we do that, it's quite interesting. Notice verse 9. Let's read that in the same chapter. God tells us through Peter to take your stand against him, solid in the faith, knowing that the same things in the way of sufferings are being accomplished in the entire association of your brothers in the world. So it's documented that individuals, just mere humans, men and women, have actually done this in the wild, where a lion's coming to attack them, and they stood their ground. Because, see, they're predators. If you run, you're done. This is great. This just energizes them even more. This is their prey. But when you stand your ground, after they've made their efforts to cause you to panic, they don't know quite what to do. Now, humans are probably, if you've never studied that, thinking, yeah, sure, give me a break. I'm going to try to get someplace away from that creature. Big mistake. So Jehovah's telling us, if we oppose the devil, if we stand our ground, he will flee. Do you have the courage to stand your ground against the devil and his roars as he tries to cause you to panic? So we're going to give you some various things that we need to stand firm in the face of that might cause us to have terror in our hearts. For example, and you want to resolve to have a courageous heart facing these situations, this is just a sample list. There's certainly other things. First one, in a life-threatening medical situation, you're pressured to accept blood. Boy, will the devil roar then. Or to accept some questionable health care method. Roaring. while experiencing great financial difficulty. You're offered employment that would likely cause spiritual damage. See, he's roaring, wanting you to panic. How about this one? After years of unsuccessfully searching for a suitable mate, you are tempted to date a spiritually weak Christian or even an unbeliever. And didn't you notice how our drama well illustrated the disastrous consequences of making a bad choice in a marriage mate? Another one, at work or at school, you experience powerful peer pressure to compromise a Bible principle. The devil's roaring. See, so always remember that these threats, just get this clear in your mind and in your figurative heart there. He's roaring in those situations to try to get you to panic so you make a bad decision. We can never succeed if we allow the roars of the lion to drown out what Jehovah says here or through his organization. Bad decision. Wrong decision every time. Call to mind the Bible principles and stand firm. When he's roaring, just stand firm. And he'll keep roaring for a time, but then he'll back away. That's what God promises us. Now, there's some practical advice we'll share with you to help you build your courage. And that has to do with using your imagination wisely. Because we all have imaginations. Some of us don't use them wisely. But we can use this gift of imagination, and with Jehovah's blessing, use it wisely and make sure we keep a heart that's not terrified. You take, for example, Jesus' counsel about not allowing ourselves to become anxious. See, hearts become terrified when anxiety is induced by various situations. It becomes a heavy burden. And frankly, when you get doubled over with anxiety, it's just like, you know, picture an individual walking everywhere looking at the ground. All they look at is the ground because they're bowed over with anxiety. Dangerous. See, and it seems ridiculous. Nobody can get from here to there if you have it all doubled over looking at the ground all the time. And it's interesting about, and some of us maybe have a propensity or inclination to be more anxious than others. And some of us are maybe not struggling with it as much, but this is not uncommon for God's people either. And there are folks that will worry and worry and worry. They're constantly worrying against the counsel of Christ Jesus. And they'll say, well, don't tell me worrying doesn't help. The things I worry about never happen. And they feel so there. They put themselves through all this unnecessary grief, worrying, and most of the things people worry about never happen. Sad. So Jehovah's very clear with his counsel. Don't burden yourself with anxiety. It causes terror to rise up in the heart. Let's take a thought from 2 Kings chapter 6 here and help you build more on using your imagination wisely. With our ministry, the way things appear from a human perspective can seem overwhelming sometimes. And I think of our brothers back in the 20s and 30s. My, what a difference as they courageously faced that great field that needed to be preached to. Well, we're still really small, relatively speaking. But here in 2 Kings chapter 6, when we're involved with this work that we have to get the good news preached, use your imagination here and see how it connects with the work that we have to do. So this is the idea, to build up our courage to carry out our work. And there are, interestingly, three words that keep a lot of people from becoming Jehovah's Witnesses. You know what the words are? House to house. And if I was to ask you to raise your hand, if you were one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and you were one that said, I will never go house to house. See, we got them all over this organization. When I studied with people said that, I'd always say to my wife, we got a good one. This is a good one. So, all of you that would have your hand up, you're going house to house now. So it's only by God's Spirit that we can have the courage to do that. Not an easy work. But this is very helpful when it seems like the odds are against us. And you'll remember it, most of you, 2 Kings chapter 6, in verse 15. This has to do with Elisha and his attendant. This military force has surrounded them. And you'll notice the devil's roaring here. And the latter part of verse 15, the attendant of Elisha says, Alas, my master, what shall we do? He's in a panic. See? He's not thinking clear. What shall we do? This is a panic. And we know it's a panic because what does Elisha say to him right away? Do not be afraid. For there are more who are with us than those who are with them. Now just use your imagination. We don't know for sure. But I'm thinking if the attendant's already in a panic and he's revealed his fear this way, that, you know how quick thoughts are. Elisha says to him, look, don't be afraid. There's more with us than are with them. He's got to be going, I see you, I see me. He's losing it. See? But things go very quickly here. When he's resurrected, you can ask him, what thought went through your mind at that moment? See if I was anywhere close. Because guaranteed he was afraid and in a state of panic. Well, Elisha in verse 17 began to pray and say, Oh, Jehovah, open his eyes, please, that he may see. So this courageous, faithful prayer, Jehovah opens up the attendant's eyes, and then he sees, and we've had this illustrated in the past in our literature, mountains full of horses and war chariots, and fire all around. Boy, what a vision. And that just lifted his spirits. So when you're feeling anything like Elisha's attendant, we want you to think about it as you face the world of Satan, the demons, everything's against us. Think about who's with us. You got your brothers and sisters that you can see. The faithful, discreet slave class is with you. But the one that's always helped me, especially in the witnessing work, the Bible says that there's an angel flying in mid-heaven representing all the angels involved in the preaching work. And they are really the gatherers. We're tools to help out, but they're determining who's coming in, who's suitable, who's not. But when the Bible uses that expression, in mid-heaven, that's where the birds fly. And I used to tell folks in the traveling work, see, just look up above the trees when you're out in the ministry. Guaranteed, even if you're alone in that territory, there's at least one angel there. And a good chance more. That's good association. I mean, one angel killed 185,000 in one night of the finest soldiers of the Syrians. What are you worried about with that backing you? And there's myriads of faithful angels looking out for us. They've been all around Ireland in droves. And you can feel their holy presence. And then this always encourages me. You've got the resurrected anointed ones. Clothed with immortality. See? And we have so many good friends that I've had. Many of you have known a lot of these old-timers. They're in heaven now. And Carrie Barber, Scottish background, loved the Irish as well. See, he's up there with a scepter in his hand saying, when do I get to hit the church? Let me go, please. At least with the direction, because Jehovah's going to have the governments do that one. But I know Brother Barber is just anxious to see that happen. And then we have, of course, Jesus enthroned as the Messianic King, and then the Sovereign Lord Himself. What are we worried about to carry out this word? Now, when you're reading your Bible, we have these audio dramas that we're trying to help God's people get the idea here to use your imagination when you're reading. So we do some of that for you. We put it in instructions with the young people. Picture yourself there, hear sounds. That's using your imagination wisely. And it's crucial to make sure you do that when you're reading your Bible. You're better off to slow down and use your imagination than to run around saying, I read 15 chapters. What did you really get out of it? Did you really use your imagination? And we've said for years about half of the time that you spend with your Bible reading should be spent meditating. That means using your imagination, putting yourself there, feeling it, hearing it, smelling it. See? Let me give you an example. Turn to 1 Samuel, very familiar account in Scripture. And we're going to use our imagination and see how this builds courage when we do it this way. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, none of the veteran soldiers of the Israelite army is ready to go out and take on Goliath. He's taunting the battle lines of Jehovah God's nation there and its soldiers. He's almost 10 feet tall. Massive man. I mean, 10 feet's where you're shooting the basketball at to try to get it in the hoop. He's just about, and probably with the helmet, he's going beyond that thing. Or in that range. Massive. He's got his attendant in front of him carrying. The sword on him was as big as David. So, nobody's going out there. And these were not your everyday coward. They'd already been killing for a long time as soldiers in the Israelite nation, but they're paralyzed. They're panicky. Terror has filled their hearts. They won't go out there. But young David, he comes and takes the challenge. And you'll notice in verse 44, see, this Philistine giant's thinking, yeah, I could blow on this kid and he'd drop dead. This is his mentality. So he says in verse 44, just come to me and I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the heavens and to the beasts of the field. So what's the impact on David? Does he look and say, look at the muscles on him. Man, this guy is huge. You see, verse 44, this is his devotion. Courage fills his heart. And he says, you are coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I'm coming to you with the name of Jehovah of armies, the God of the battle lines of Israel, whom you have taunted. See, he didn't get negative and start looking at all the things that could go wrong and worry and worry and worry. No. His heart's filled with courage. He looked at that giant and he said, look how big his head is. There's no way I can miss. See the difference? And he didn't miss. Down he went, and with the man's sword, he took his head off of a dead man. Use your imagination. See? Learn from these accounts. The Bible's full of different accounts. We had it during our convention, the courage of Joshua and Caleb. My, what courage. 10 of the spies are all contending that there's no way we should go in there. No courage. The heart's filled with terror. But Caleb and Joshua were full of courage. See, if you were there, do you put yourself there, who are you going with? The majority? Which is common for imperfect humans? Well, they must be right. 8 out of 10. See, not for those that have courage. When you face a severe test of your integrity, look beyond the trial. Christ Jesus did not focus on the pain of the torture stake, as painful as it was. He looked beyond that for the joy Jehovah had set beyond that pain. So the devil is convinced that you and I'll do whatever we need to do to save our skin. And most humans will. Look what Hitler got people to do who were just normal everyday people to other fellow Germans because they were afraid to die. They were afraid to lose their skin. In other countries, the same thing. So how delighted Jehovah is when we're ready to die if necessary with a courageous heart, keeping our integrity to Him.